Empress Eve is here today, telling you what she's got to say. Empress Eve, Empress Eve, Empress Eve is here today.
Hello, peepers. It's so good to be back. It is I, the Beijing Empress, who shares her world views on news, current affairs, and anything else that moves my heart to speak on. And today, I'm doing something a little different, you know? But first, before I get into the show, I want to say thank you to all the new listeners out there. I'm very excited. I got people from around the globe listening to the Beijing Empress, Empress Eve. That is me. I check up on my background thing because my assistant Eva Moore, she gonna be here today, by the way. Show me how to log on and check who listening and where and how much and all that kind of thing. I check today. We got people from the UK, from India, from Belgium, from Trinidad, from Canada, from America. Oh, lots of states in America. A few states in Canada. Canada, you have to do better, man. Welcome, India. Welcome, Belgium. Welcome, France. Welcome, UK. Who else I say? I think I mentioned everybody. But it's so exciting. I want to thank all of you guys watching the podcast grow. It's a beautiful thing because I do it from the depths of my heart, you know? So I want to thank all of you. And if you really do enjoy the podcast, I see you listening to all of these shows, different people listening to different shows. If you enjoy it, share it, you know, on your platforms with your friends. Because they might enjoy it too, you know? And if they don't, then at least they got some time learning about the Beijing Empress and about other people from other parts of the world, you know? And if you like it, also remember to review it or like it on your favorite podcast platform, especially on iTunes, apparently, because in the world of let's rate everything, apparently iTunes rating matter more than everybody else. I don't know why. I don't believe in all this nonsense, but whatever. If you do listen on iTunes, remember to rate, review, and give me 5 stars if you like me. So, I was going to tell you people something and it gone right out of my head. That seemed to be happening a lot lately, you know. But it wasn't important. Because if it was important, anyway, let me get on with the show. So today, I'm having a heart-to-heart with Eve and Moore. She's my assistant, but she's much, much more than that. I love she very, very much. And I thought it would be nice to bring she on, not as an employee, but as a co-host almost, you know? To discuss the topic of loving yourself anyway. Because that is very much a part of what I do. And I know it's a lot of what she talk about. And she had a job, you know, she's just right, she's a coach, she's do all this kind of thing. I know she's talk about that kind of thing a lot. Love yourself anyway. And that is very much a sentiment I could get behind. It's how I learned to love myself, no matter what. Call unconditional. People talk about it, but I don't know how much to live it. Love yourself anyway. And loving yourself anyway is not about being bad behaved. And never apologizing, never admitting you're doing anything wrong, never trying to change the things that need to change. Loving yourself anyway is being unconditional with how you're dealing with things, how you're dealing with your wrongdoings or the way in life that you didn't really respond the way you wish to, or you're doing things that you know aren't good for you, all that kind of thing. And loving yourself anyway, and that allows you to then think clearly about what you can do to change the situation. You're not beating yourself up all the time. You're not berating yourself every day, feeling guilt and shame. Because when you feel guilt and shame, I'm sure we can get into this a bit more. you very love to change your behavior. You can excuse your behavior because you don't want to look at the guilty and shameful feelings, you know? So that's why I bring my lovely assistant, Eva Moore, on the show so we could have a discussion about where we were before we learned to love ourselves anyway and where we are now and the journey from one to the next. And maybe you people could pick up some things in there that you find helpful or that you resonate with. So let me welcome she to the show. Hello, Eva Moore.
Hi, Empress. Really, really glad to be here because you really are very, very funny, but very insightful. And it's a real pleasure to be here.
Now you didn't have to say all that, man. I didn't pay you enough for all that, you know. So don't be gaslighting me and love bombing me. I hear about this. If I can do a show on gaslighting and love bombing pretty soon, I know you people want that. But again, getting off the topic. Yes, it's good to have you here, my dear. Let me start now. Tell me something about your journey. Just keep it short because I don't want this podcast too long. And I know you got to edit it. So, you know, I'm thinking about you too. Thanks. No worries, man. No worries. Let's keep answers short, you know. I know you're thinking I could talk, considering how much I just talk on and on. But in this case, I can do my best to keep mine short too. Tell me a little bit about your self-love journey from not loving yourself enough to loving yourself anyway.
That's a really interesting question. I won't go back to the depths of my childhood, as you said, because we don't have as much time that would allow that. But I can definitely say I have been on that journey. And that journey used to be things like if I encountered somebody who had negative things to say about me and couldn't see what I considered the real me, then I would take what they said and I would carry it in my heart. I would carry it. I would repeat what they said. I would beat myself up. I'd let my mind play out all the drama of that, to the point where I actually experienced lots of depression because I allowed those mind thoughts that were based on other people's opinions of me or how I thought I should be or should act, you know, as a black woman, as the certain stereotypes about how we should be and how we should talk, how we should think, and not just from within the black community, but societally. And not fitting into those molds very easily. I'm not one for 9-to-5 living, for example.
Me neither, man. Me neither. I hear you, but carry on.
Yes, I'm not one for 9-to-5 living. I prefer this feeling of being free, needing freedom, to feel a sense of freedom, to offer unto Caesar what is Caesar's, as it says, but to give myself what I need. So offering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, for example, is making sure the bills are paid and the taxes are paid. But the way I do that, the way I generate that income, cannot be in a way that is all about rigidity and what's been done before. And these are the rules of engagement. And I have to find an original way. So the journey from not loving myself enough to loving myself anyway was about beginning to really take on board this idea of who I am without all the rules and recommendations of society and culture and gender and discover who I was without all of that. And that was the beginning of my self-love journey. And it wasn't particularly easy because letting go of all these deeply embedded rules and patterns and ideas about how we should all be in the world. It's a very taxing thing and you get a lot of criticism for it. So that's the kind of criticism I'm talking about, that I had to move from one to the other in order to love myself anyway. And even more than that, love myself no matter what.
Oh, I like that. I like that even more. I like that a lot. I could really, really resonate with that because, you know, as a virgin empress, there's people who are always trying to tell me who is I to call myself an empress. Who I think I is, who I think I am pressing. You see what I did there?
Yes, I do. I do see what you did there. It's very funny. You are very funny.
Yeah, I ain't got no right to impress people. But as an empress, I ain't find myself impressive. It did take a while, though. Because as you say, when you try to break out the mold, break free from the mold of things, and be the person you're meant to be in the world, the people that's not on board with that, they have a way of trying to drag you down, you know? And if you care about some of those people, or you care about their opinions, you will let them drag you down if you're not careful, you know? And my self-love journey to loving myself anyway was truly about, listen, people, I ain't gonna learn to do me, and I ain't gonna let you do you. I ain't gonna discover what I'm here to do, and the things that make my heart sink, and the things that light me up from the inside, and the way I present myself in the world is going to be how I choose to, not how you think I should. I don't care what weight you think I should be. I don't care if you don't like my Bajan accent. I don't care if you don't think I talk proper enough, even as a Bajan to Bajan person. This is how I talk. If you don't like it, it's okay. But don't be coming and telling me. I ain't coming to tell you nothing about how you talk. And if I did, then I would be in the wrong. So there's that kind of thing that you have to let go of. Other people's opinion, like you say. But also your own understanding of what it is you here to be and do. And you can't do that if you got everybody else's ideas about things in your mind. About how you should be. You can't discover who you are until you brush away the layers of who they say you are. Who the world say you should be. Who the culture say you should be. So I'm with you, man, on that. And the journey for me was definitely about standing in front of the mirror and saying, dear Lord, who is this genius, gorgeous being here? Where you come from? Who these people have been lying to you all these years about you ain't good enough? About you're too this, you're too that. You're too wrong, you're too fat, you're too slim, you're too tall, you're too short. Well, they didn't say I was too tall because I ain't tall, obviously. But you get my point. I do. You get my point, right? So, I stand in the mirror and I start loving myself. I start writing myself love letters. I start finding out about what is it I really enjoy and why I really enjoy it. And one of the things I love to do, I'm good at it. I know you're good at it too. I know you're good, you know. I know how to see the themes and things, you know, in people's lives. The common threads that just weave throughout the lives of human beings that give them little breadcrumbs on the path, you know, to show them this way, not that way. This is where your heart or your soul is guiding you. And these are the teams that are going to keep popping up in your life till you get the lesson, you know? And because I was good at that, I started to apply that to myself. And I started to see teams that I needed to make myself feel like I live in a good life. You know, a life I love. You understand? I completely understand Empress. Completely. So once I do that, I discovered the team for me was, I need to be somebody who just help other people understand how to be more self-loving, more self-aware. And even if I was in a 9-to-5 job, even in that role, I would be the person there that say, something ain't right, man. Something about how this business running, this manager or supervisor behaving, the way this employee talking to that employee, the practices and the systems that we got going on here, it don't seem very effective, you know. I would get shut down, shout down for being the whistleblower. So I just go as a whistleblower. You know, you can relate to that. I know you can. I really can. It's uncanny. I don't know how we've got so much in common. I know. It's weird, right? Funny though. I guess you attract like attracts like and all that. But the journey I had to go on to love myself anyway was one, to trust what my heart was telling me, my instincts were telling me, my gut was telling me. And also, to find a nicer way to say what I say, you know? Because when you love yourself anyway, you know how hard it is to hear harsh words said harsh. I didn't want to really do that anymore. I needed to find a nice way to tell people you're doing not sex here, man. What are you doing here? That's how I would have said it before, you know? But since I learned to love myself anyway and see how my own mind attacks myself, how my own negative thoughts was attacking me, and how it don't feel good in your body, it don't feel good in your heart, I had to get a bit more compassionate. So as I loved myself anyway, gave myself more compassion, then I could be more compassionate with other people. Not all the time, it's a journey. Obviously, it takes time to get to the point where you're more compassionate. Even if you're thinking a thought of irritation, you try to find a way to say it that don't hurt people's feelings too much, too bad. But sometimes you got to be blunt. I have to tell you sometimes, some people hard ears, they don't listen. And you have to be very clear. And they might find that hard to hear. But the self-love journey was that. That's something you could relate to, no? Yeah, definitely. Definitely can relate to that. And I think in my family, if there's such a role, I was the truth teller in a situation. You know, I was the one who said, why is that happening? Why are we doing that? Why is this the tradition? Why do women have to do these roles? Why do men play these roles? What if you're a person who doesn't fit into any of these roles? How are you meant to live? You know, and why do you put up with that? And why do you accept that? That's not very nice behavior. Or why do you inflict that on other people and pretend you're not inflicting it? That kind of thing. I was a truth teller. And yes, like you, before I learned to say it in a nice way, it was always very an aggressive manner. Let's say, you, I don't believe you. You was never aggressive. Yes, I'm afraid I was, Empress. I have another side to me. And that was one of the things I found with them. I started dating, for example, and because I've got this nice spoken voice and I smile and I seem quite pleasant, I would attract certain kinds of people into relationships. And they'd seen that side of me, but of course they hadn't seen the side of me that I could become when I could sense something wasn't right, or they were trying to box me into a role or a way of behavior. And then they saw the other side and they never could quite deal with the other more aggressive side. The same truth teller, but definitely fighting out of her corner, refusing to be boxed in by anyone. So, yeah, the self-love journey was beginning to understand why I was attracting those kinds of people and why I was hiding certain aspects of my personality. And the way I managed to shift that was learning to love that aggression, learning to love that anger, not berating myself for getting angry or losing my temper or overreacting, but seeing it and saying that is what is happening. I am overreacting. I am enraged. I am angry. But what's at the root of that, you know, and get into the heart of it. Say, but what am I really feeling? What is it here that's triggering me so much? And in doing that, I was able to get in touch with the deeper emotions of I feel vulnerable, I'm afraid, I definitely need to be my own person, and having people dictate how I should be. Anger is my mechanism. It's a mechanism that I learned growing up in my family. Anyway, we had a lot of people who lost their tempers. But it was also a protection mechanism, because when I got angry, people would back off. They would pay attention in a way they didn't when I was nice. When I was nice, they thought I was too nice, you know? So it was like a pendulum from one to the other. So learning to love myself, loving myself anyway, despite that, those outbursts allowed me to really begin to investigate what was at the root of all of that, that anger and that hurt. And to begin to say, I love you anyway. I know why you're upset. I get why you're frustrated. It is really hard. I love myself anyway. And the more I did that, the less I needed to get angry. You know, the less I needed to lash out or become enraged, the less I needed to have other people's approval. It went from a, no, I'm not doing that, to, nope, not for me, sorry. Because I was clear about who I was
and what I was here to be and how I needed to be in the world. And I didn't have to feel defensive anymore. And it's only when you're defensive that you have to go into those more extreme emotions. But I still find anger comes up now for me, and maybe it's the same for you.
Maybe sometime, every now and again, I ain't saying that.
So, yeah, for me, it does come up, but now it's almost like a righteous anger. It's like a signpost. Because I feel it doesn't mean I have to express it freely. And that's what I've learned that's come from loving myself anyway. So I can see the anger and I can go, hold on, if it's here, it stopped being a negative. It's now a positive because it's telling me something is definitely off because I'm getting angry. Something's off in this situation. Something doesn't feel right. Someone's not telling the truth. They're denying what I can see is true, but I don't have to tell them that in an angry fashion. So I do now what I call conscious venting.
Conscious venting? What is that? Tell me about that. I know already, but I think the listeners would be interested to hear conscious venting. Sound good, CV?
Yeah, conscious venting is allowing myself to express my anger in a safe way, maybe on my own, allowing myself a rant, really enjoying it, fully aware that I'm venting, fully aware if I want to swear, if I want to shout, if I want to insult people in my mind or out loud, as long as they're not there to hear it. Don't really want to hurt people's feelings, you know, then it's okay. I'm allowing that energy, because it is all just energy. I'm allowing it a release. And so when I allow it that release and behave badly, in inverted commas, on my own, or writing it down, typing it on the computer, putting it in my journal, whatever it is, allowing that energy a space to vent, means I can then address whoever the person is or whatever the situation is with a much more calm and much more clarity. So I don't deny my anger when it arises. It's a friend. All emotions are my friends now. They're all trying to tell me something. And that's what I've learned about this journey of loving myself anyway. Loving myself anyway means allowing it all, not chastising yourself for any of it. And in that way, those emotions are honoured. And so how I express to other people becomes much more balanced.
I love that. I love that. This show a lot longer than I planned, but it's a very interesting topic. Yes, I love that. I love that a lot. So for me, I definitely get that. As a fiery, fiery soul, I definitely know that there was even things like, let me give you an example that might shock the listeners. Even things like being a passionate woman who enjoy the pleasures of the body and communing with somebody I care about in a very physical fashion. I say it in a nice way in case the wrong people listening. But you know what I'm talking about out there. Just allowing myself to be the person who enjoyed that. Who didn't censor herself. Who didn't censor her pleasures of life. Because I grew up in a time when women weren't supposed to be fully able to enjoy all the physical pleasures of the body, the flesh, on my own or with somebody else. Let's be honest. And I had to give myself permission to be this passionate woman who really did enjoy those activities and do it in a safe way and do it in a loving way and not berate myself for enjoying it. You know, these things just get deeply embedded in me for centuries and centuries, you know. So it handed down generation to generation. And when you're trying to break free of these things and not be what society says you should be, it's a woman, you should be more chaste, more virginal, you know, respectable, and all these things, me don't enjoy your love life. That didn't go well for me at all. So when you're not enjoying it, or when you're enjoying it too much, but you feel guilty about it, That is when you tend to go out there and do things that might harm yourself, you know, because you get the guilty rush. You get this feeling of doing something that taboo. And there's a whole load of things psychologists could tell you. Doing things that are taboo are very enjoyable, but they cause a lot of havoc sometimes because you're not protecting yourself. You're being reckless with your body or your life and all that kind of thing. So when you're doing that from a place of guilt or shame, but you're going to do it anyway, you're more likely to put yourself in danger, physical danger or danger of catching something or being with the wrong kind of person because there's only physical attraction between you two. You know, hey, I get on this topic, man. But the point being, when I learned to love myself anyway, much more careful about who I get into relationship with, who I share my body with, you know, how I honor my own passions and joys. I was much more loving. The theme here is when you're more loving of yourself, you treat yourself better. When you forgive yourself, you behave better. You think about other people and you think about yourself, you know. And we all have pockets where we resisting loving myself. I love myself for that, but that I shouldn't do. I like myself for that, but I should be better at this. We all do it. But it's a journey. It's a self-love journey. And loving yourself anyway allows you to allow a lot of those behaviors that are sabotaging you, undermining you, to fall away. You ever do that, Iman Moore? It's a little too personal for me, Empress. A little too personal, like I don't know everything about you already, but I suppose you mean on air. Tell me later about that. Anyway, anything else you want to add about the journey? Because I don't really want the show to go on too long. Any topic you think we should cover when it comes to self-love journey? Yeah, I think so. I think it affects every area of our lives. And I would like to say this one last thing in terms of it affects everything. So if you're having financial issues and you beat yourself up for not being good with money or not managing your money well or not believing you deserve to have a decent income, it's because this feeling of unworthiness or unlovability is causing you to act in a way that, as you said, is sabotaging. It's all self-sabotaging behaviors that compounds your belief about yourself of not being good with money in this example. But in other things, it could be not good with relationships, not good with food, not good with whatever. The self-love journey of loving yourself anyway is the way you can begin to say, I'm going to look at all these aspects of myself that I push down, you know, like, why do I make these choices with money? Why do I struggle to pay my bills on time? Why do I quit that job without a plan and then go to another job or another relationship or whatever it is? Why do I stay in that relationship? Because this person supports me financially when I'm not happy. Whatever your version of that is. Why don't I let my income go above a certain bracket, you know, another level? Why is it every time I level up, I start to act out again? The self-love journey of loving yourself anyway is about saying, these are my patterns. This is why I behave the way I do. And because I behave the way I do, I then beat myself up for behaving that way because I haven't loved and forgiven myself. And I'm ashamed to look at this behavior too deeply because I'm scared of what I might find. And so the loving yourself anyway allows you to look at the areas of your personality or your psyche that you've been pushing down because you felt ashamed of them or you didn't like them. When you love them anyway, you can greet them like friends. You know, a friend who's having a hard time, a friend who doesn't know any other way, a friend who feels trapped in their behavior. And you can be loving with that friend, that part of yourself, that aspect of yourself, to begin to change that behavior. It may take time. You may fall back 100 times. You may fall back 1,000 times. But each time you get up quicker, each time you catch yourself a little bit quicker before you engage in that behavior. And then over time, that behavior starts to change and shift, and you don't fall back
quite so much. Or if you get help from outside sources, you know, you go to therapy, you get a coach, you do something, you can speed up that process because they can help you have clarity and affirm your choices that are working for you and help you to find better ways of doing things that aren't working for you. But even if you do it on your own, it really is about loving yourself enough to say, I need to forgive and love myself no matter what, no matter what, because then from that place, I can truly begin to get a handle on these things that I know aren't good for me, that aren't working for me. And if I can change them, I will change them and I'll get the help I need if I can't do it on my own. So loving yourself anyway is at the root of so much healing, so much transformation. It's an absolute joy to engage in this beautiful relationship with yourself, where you parent yourself and you love yourself in a way that you needed to be loved in order to become the person you're meant to be. So I know that you and I connect because of that, because that's the journey we're on. You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong, madam. You ain't wrong at all. You're speaking the truth. I love that you're speaking the truth. I love the energy that this change when we get into a place of true authenticity in how we express it. You know, I feel it every single time. I feel the energy shift. I feel a peace descending on me. I feel a peace emitting out to the space, over the airwaves, touching somebody out there who needed to hear what we had to say. That is what we're telling you today. Myself, the Virgin Empress, and even more. Love yourself anyway, man. Love yourself anyway does not mean pushing things down, denying who you are. It means that it allows you to be more rigorous in your investigations of your behaviors, of your motivations, of your insecurities, in order to love yourself out of them, or love yourself through them as they transform. And we ain't nobody going to the deathbed completely perfect. According to Scientology, you get to a place where you're 100% clear. I know that ain't the case. I don't know why they're lying to people. Life is an ongoing journey, but there's always something. Always something. So we don't have to be 100% clear. We are already 100% clear. We just masking all the shadow stuff, all the self-hatred, all the hurts, masking that clarity, that clearness, that goodness. But they're not bad. They just mask, you know? I think that is a profound way to end the show. I want to thank you even more for coming on the show today. It's nice, you know, to have you here. I know you're going to have a lot of editing to do now, but that's your job. I just pay you good. Is there anything while you're here you want to tell people about or promote before we go? Oh, thank you, Empress. It's been a pleasure. Really interesting. I think I shared things I didn't know I was going to share. But I do. On the 25th of December, I do have an online workshop. And it's for people, primarily people, who are going to be alone at Christmas, who value the kind of discussion that we've had here today, who are wanting to be more authentic, wanting to have less surface type conversations, want to explore life with more passion, more vision, more intuition, more intention. And it's called The Gathering at Christmas. And if you'd like to find out more about it, you can go to my website, youdeservealifeyoulove.com. And if you like what you see and you resonate with what you read, then come and join us. It should be a really amazing, wonderful event, full of self-affirming and group-affirming and clarity and looking at limiting beliefs in a deeply loving way, a way that means we don't have to poke at the pain. We can celebrate the journey. That sound good, man. I might come too, you know. Thank you for coming on the show as my co-host. Don't be thinking you're coming again. This is my show, you know. So thank you, people, for listening out there. I love you all like cooked food. I tell you that all the time. I love you like cooked food. You're a joy to have in my world, even if it's only virtually. I see you soon. Next week, I believe on the 23rd, we have a show coming out with Trevor Jeremiah Carter, who is a podcast host and stress and wellness coach for men. I did a nice interview with Trevor, and he did deal with a lot of some of the things we talk about today. He called it generational curses, like ancestral patterns, that stop we achieving our best, living our best lives. He works primarily with men, but the message he has is universal. So look forward to that next Wednesday. You can listen to it here on my website page, anchor.fm/Eve-and-more, or on your favorite podcast platform. And if you do listen to it on Anchor, you can leave a voice message for me telling me how much you're enjoying the show. And it'd be nice to hear from you. And I think that is it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Speak to you guys soon. Say bye. Bye. Bye, people. We love you, man.